Have you ever said or heard somebody else say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And usually we say it with anger, with disgust, or with sorrow. Because we didn't get the promotion we thought we deserved. We didn't get the job that we were suited for. We didn't get the honor that should have been ours. But after all, it went to the relative or the buddy of the person doing the selecting. And we say, it's just not fair. I remember when I graduated from college, I wanted to work a year or two before I went to seminary. I applied for a job. The guy that was doing the hiring said, Ed, you are by far the best qualified candidate that's applied for this job, but I can't hire you because I've been instructed to hire. And I won't go any further than that. I'm thinking, hey, this isn't fair. You know, sometimes life isn't fair. And so we say it's not what you know, it's who you know. But you know, in the same sense, that's true in Christianity. Only it is fair. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Now, it's important to know all the Bible you can possibly know. But it's not how much Bible you know. I remember years and years ago that, you know, one of those contest TV things, and there was some guy that could quote just about the whole Bible, but he was lost. Sorry about that. Knowing all the Bible doesn't get you to heaven. It's not how much church history you know, but it's good to know church history. It's not how much theology you know, though it's good to know a little theology. It's do you know personally Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? It's who you know. And beyond that, it's how well you know Jesus Christ. Do you know him just a little bit? Or you know him a little more? Or do you know him intimately? How well do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How personally acquainted with him are you really acquainted? Do we know Jesus? Do we know him well? It's so important that we know him well. And do we know him better now than, say, we did 5 years ago? Or 10 years ago? Or 20 years ago? Are we growing in our relationship with Jesus? You know, it's like a married couple. They can live in the same house for 50 years and not really know one another. Or they can begin to know each other and learn each other and finish each other's sentences and know what the other one wants to eat before the other one gets out of bed. You know, you can really get to know your spouse in the same way you can really get to know Jesus. You can really get to know Jesus. Now, let's run through the Bible for a minute. You think about Adam walked with God in the garden. Enoch walked with God. Abraham was a friend of God. Moses had face-to-face encounters with God. David was a man after God's own heart. Daniel had divine revelations, which he sealed up to the end time. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. The disciples walked and talked with Jesus on a daily basis. Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Paul had divine revelations. He said, I can't even tell you. I'm not permitted to tell you all the divine revelations that I had. And you see, those were men, and there were some women along in there that had special relationship, special encounter, special fellowship, friendship with God. Now, in our generation, and, you know, say the last 100 years or so, Billy Graham, David Brainerd, William Carey, E.M. Bounds, Ron Dunn, Manly Beasley, Major Ian Thomas, Smith Wigglesworth, John Lake, Bertha Smith, Martha Franks. Now, if most of those names except Billy Graham were foreign to you, I feel sorry for you. In the sense that I hurt for you, in the sense that I know you have missed knowing some of the great, great, great men and women of God. And I say this not to make you feel bad, but to make you aware that there's a vast array of people that would bless you, inspire you, teach you, direct you, if you simply spent the time to read and study. Simply spent the time to read and study. Now, at various times in my life, every person that I mentioned had been a blessing to me. Some at certain other times, and then certain, and you know, some more than others. And the person that would appeal to me might not appeal to you. But there are all kinds of folks out there that are could be and would be a tremendous blessing and help you to grow on in your growth and knowledge with the Lord. Now, let me ask a question. Does God just pick and choose? Did he just say, well, I believe I'll bless Abraham, or I believe I'll bless Billy Graham. I believe I'll bless this one, that one, or the other. And everybody else was left out. Or does God, is God an equal opportunity blesser? In the book of Acts, in chapter 10, verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. That means that what God would do for one, he would do for anybody else. Acts 10, 34. God is no respecter of persons. Anybody, everybody has the opportunity to be a champion, to be a prayer warrior, to be a mighty man or woman of God. And we make the choice. You and I make the choice of how much time we will invest personally in our growth and in our relationship with the Lord. You know, I mentioned a moment ago about husbands and wives. You know, if they both have high-powered jobs and they don't see each other but about 10 minutes at night before they say good night, fall in bed asleep, and wake up the next morning, one's gone, the other one's gone. They don't grow together. They may live in the same house. I got to tell this. Doesn't have anything to do with my wife. Every time I say something, she thinks I'm going to talk about her. I read in the obituary in a paper one day about this man dying. And I had met him once or twice. And it said, leaves behind a loving wife of 45 years or some big long length of time. And so I asked a mutual friend about this man dying. And she went to laughing about the obituary. She said for at least the last 15 years, maybe longer, she lived upstairs. He lived in the basement. They had separate mailboxes out on the front porch, out in the yard. Now, they can put in the obituary, loving wife and all that kind of stuff, but it didn't happen. They lived in the same house, but they didn't know one another. Not very well. Well, folks, we can come to church, but we don't really know Jesus. To really know Jesus, we have to spend some time with him personally. We have to read about him. We have to pray. We have to worship. We have to honor him. And you get to pick and choose how much time and how important he will be in your life. Now, I got to thinking, you can just listen to people talk. It doesn't take long to find out where they are spiritually. It's just amazing. We can fake it, but we can't fake it long. And it's so sad to see a 70-year-old that's still 6 years old spiritually. Been a member of a church 55, 60 years. It's even worse when they become a Sunday school teacher. Even worse when they become a deacon. And even worse when they become a preacher. For there are some. And you know, there's some lay people, and it's not limited to, you know, spiritual growth is not limited to preachers. I know over the years, I've known a number of lay people that embarrassed me. I just didn't hardly want to talk to them because they were so far above me spiritually. I didn't want to show my ignorance. There's one guy, every time I'd go, he said, let's talk about this or let's talk about that. And I'm thinking, oh no, John. You're going to get me showing how ignorant I am. But you see, John had chosen to grow and deeper with the Lord. And because John had chosen to grow deeper with the Lord, John had made tremendous strides spiritually. Now, I learned from John, and there's others that I've learned from, because they were men and women of God. They didn't have any special title. They didn't have any ordination behind them. They were just people who had been touched by God, and they were so in love with him that they just wanted to know him. Let's look at a couple of biblical examples. Turn with me first now to the book of Joshua. It's about Joshua. Exodus 33. Exodus 33 and verse 11. I find this so very interesting. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto a friend. Now that's what I said earlier. Moses had that special relationship to the Lord, spoke to him face to face. He and God were friends. He knew God in a special way, but then notice what it says next. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses had a relationship with God that so inspired Joshua. Joshua says, you go take care of business. I'm going to meet with the Lord. I'm not going anywhere because I'm going to meet with the Lord. So it's no surprise that when Moses was taken on to glory, Joshua becomes the leader of the people of Israel. Because Joshua was not satisfied with Moses' anointing. He was not satisfied with Moses' learning. He was not satisfied with to just bask in Moses' relationship with the Lord. Joshua wanted his own personal walk with God. And because Joshua had wanted his own personal walk with God, he says, I'm staying here. Because you remember, the tabernacle represented the presence of God. It was that special place where God was. The Ark of the Covenant and all of that. And Joshua said, I'm going to stay in the presence of God till I get what I need for my walk. And so it was that later God could use him in a powerful way. Now let's go over to one in the New Testament, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And let's start at verse 7. But these things which were gain to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is in God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now you think about all that Paul had gone through, and Paul says, hey, I want to know him. I want to know him better. I want to be conformable to his death, to his suffering. And then when you skip on down to verse 12, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that which I may apprehend or grab a hold of, that for which I also am grabbed a hold of or apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I'm going to forget what I have, not technically forget it, but I'm not going to be satisfied. I want to keep growing and growing and growing. And if somebody like Paul could say, I'm not satisfied, where does that leave Ed Louder? I should never be satisfied till I'm growing and growing and growing in the Lord. Paul says, God reached out and apprehended or grabbed a hold of me, and I want to grab a hold of everything that God has for me. You see, we have a choice. We have a choice of how much we're going to grow. Now, I read something this week that just sort of astounded me. Think about Jesus, the Son of God, God-man, special anointed at his baptism with the Holy Spirit. If there was ever anybody that could have slid by, it was Jesus. But how many times do you read in the Gospels, and a great way before day, Jesus went out and spent time with the Father. Jesus sent the disciples away so he could go into the mountains to pray. How many times do you see Jesus saying, I've got to go, it's necessary that I go spend time with my Heavenly Father? Well, now, if Jesus needed it, where does that leave us? That doesn't leave us any slack, does it? I never really thought about that. Jesus, the Son of God, was doing the very same thing I'm encouraging you to do. Spend time with the Father. He could have slid by. He could have taken the easy way out. He could have slept another 4 or 5 hours every night. But Jesus said, I've got to spend time with my Father. Because I've got a world out there that needs healing, needs saving, needs delivering. And if I don't spend time with the Father, I don't have the power to do it. Now, let's be personal. How much time did you spend last week reading your Bible? Don't raise any hands. Don't shout out any numbers. Other godly Christian books? You say, well, preacher, I don't read. Hey, there's CDs and tapes. I don't know how many dozens of sermons that are on my computer. And I'm going to be honest, because if you ask my wife, she'll tell you what I'm fixing to tell you. I'll flip. Sometimes I listen to the whole sermon. Sometimes I hear point one, point two, and then all of a sudden he's preaching point four. And I say, what happened to point three? And I realize I've dozed off during point three. But there's a little number out beside of there. How many times have you listened to this sermon? Some of them I've not heard at all. Some of them I've heard one time. Some of them I've heard 4 or 5 times. And so over a period of time, I'm going to get it all. You may not be a reader, but there are all kinds of ways that you can hear the Word of God taught and explained, and you come to understand. And you say, well, preacher, last week I didn't have any time. Well, what about the last month or the last 3 months? What's the consistent pattern in your life? What's the driving force? Paul says, I'm not satisfied till I get on there, till I grow. He said, well, I'm old. I've learned more since I was 65 than I did in the first 65 years. And I hope that I'm still learning when the trumpet blows. I hope I have to lay down a book to go. Or I say, now wait a minute, let me click off the computer. You know, it's just so exciting to read your Bible and think, that verse wasn't in there the first 47 times I read that chapter. Or to read a book that you've never read before, or read a book that you've read 14 times and all of a sudden there's new truth to it. The Holy Spirit is such a wonderful teacher, and the Bible says He is our teacher. He's such a wonderful teacher that He brings forth truth that we need at exact the right time and gives us what we need for ourselves and what we need to feed others. And folks, there's a myriad of ways to pray, and whether you get on your knees, your face, or sit in your recliner, God doesn't care. God just wants you to spend time with Him. It's not what you know, it's who you know. How well do you know Him? Oh, He wants to know you so intimately, so wonderfully. He wants you to be a friend. Not just a servant, a slave, but a friend, a child. All you grandmas and grandpas know how it is when these grandkids come and crawl up in your lap, say, Nana, I love you. Papa, I love you. Pat your face a little bit. Reach up and give you a kiss on the cheek. That's special. God wants you to come into His presence and love Him. And be loved by Him. And to experience the joy of His presence. And to go out in the strength of His presence. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Draw near to Him. It's who you know. And God says, I want you to know me well. I want you to really know me. And we get the choice. And you know, there's no reason for jealousy. If somebody else is growing faster than we are, that's their choice. But we can all grow. We never get too old to grow. We never get too old to grow and grow closer to the Lord. I challenge you. Know Him. Get to know Him well. Get to really know Him. And you'll be blessed beyond measure. Most of us can look to relatives or preachers or teachers or friends and say, that man, that woman really walk with the Lord. It'd be great if people could say that about us. If Jesus doesn't come soon, if our grandkids and great-grandkids could say, my mama, my papa, they really walk with God. And know that we'd be a blessing. As we sing and have our invitation, if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's saying, come. Acknowledge me as your Lord and Savior, and you can be saved. If you need to come to the altar, if you need to pray, right where you are, if you need to make a commitment, if afterwards you said, who are some of those preachers or people that you mentioned? I'll give you some names. I'll even loan you some books. My wife would be glad to get a few out of the house. As I have the invitation, would you come?